You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
First the natural, then the spiritual. You all know I'm a big basketball fan. The NBA playoffs are playing. And God's team, the Golden State Warriors. I'm sorry, the Golden State Christian Warriors. Dom, correctly, absolutely, are playing. And so my wife was concerned last night because she has adopted the Warriors as her team also. And the first time in the playoffs, they were behind for a little while. And she said, "What's going to happen?" I said, "They're going to win." I said, "Because they're not looking about what happened in the past. They're not even worried about what's happening now. They know what the future of this game is going to be." Okay, let me come here. Let me explain something to you. If I'm playing and I'm thinking about the past, and I'm looking back at the past, you'll be robbed of your future. That's why the Bible says a man who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, if all I'm worried about is the now and what's in front of me and what I'm trying to do is keep guarding, keep the ball away, I don't see anybody that's helping me. All I see is me. That's a problem in America. Everybody just is seeing them, not understanding that God has people that are part of your team all around you. That if I'm look up to where your strength cometh from. Your strength cometh from the Lord. So you see, I've got teammates everywhere. There's always hope as long as you're not just focused on you. Okay, we're in this together. So we go to Genesis 1. And we see God. We see God. God's in heaven. And now on the first day, if Gary's God, God works the first day. And he has a good day. It's darkness and he creates light. Light and darkness. Bam. Good day. The Bible says he rested. Now listen to me. Some of y'all would think that's a lifetime of work. Reuben, what else is there? I just created light and darkness. The next morning, God's back up at it. God is saying, "What's next?" The title of the message is, "What's next?" The basketball player that knows what's next sees the game before it happens. He sees the game before it actually unfolds. So on the second day, God has a good day. God creates land, water, and sky. In one day. He creates that. The Bible says he looks around. It was good. He rested. He said it was good. The third day, God's going, "What's next?" Are y'all with me? Are you listening to me? I don't care what and how good yesterday was. You need to get in your spirit and in your mind, what's next? I don't care how good it is. God has something better tomorrow. Don't be distracted by your past success, or especially your past failures. So third day, God creates grass, plants, fruit trees, and seeds. How many of you think it's a good day? Some of y'all would just become horticulturists and you just stay there the rest of your life. You're the fruit tree person. You're the plant guy. God goes, no. He looks around. He says, "That's a good day." I'm talking prophetically to a group of people that are about to have such significant events every day. Oh, here's two. Anybody else that have such significant days every day? And when they lay their head down, they can't wait to wake up to say, "Oh, y'all are, y'all need to pray over the 9:30 service. Y'all are much, okay. Pray for your brother and sister. The house was full. Look at the house full again. So four. God says, I got to do more. God in one day creates the stars, the sun, and the moon. How many of you think that's a pretty good day? But he's a what next God. And you're created in his likeness and in his image so that regardless of what happens, it's what's next. What's next? And so God, on the fifth day, he comes back with fish, birds, whales, insects. Nelson, good day? Great day. He looks around, says it's good, but how many of you are glad he didn't stop at five? You wouldn't be here. On the sixth day, he has momentum. He has what's next momentum. And he gets up and he creates all the animals and creates man. And he sits down and goes, what a great day. And he goes, what's next? Rest. Shabbat. I'm going to speak to some of y'all that think, some of y'all in here work so hard, you think that your hard work is what's going to make you successful. Now, you know me. I'm not a man putting up with lazy. No, I'm not putting up with lazy. But it's not by your hands or your works. The Bible says that any man could boast. It's because God has ordained you to stay in balance. On the seventh day, he rested. On the seventh day, he rested. Now, here's your Bishop saying for the day, if your focus is on what was, you'll never see what is, and you'll certainly never see what's next. You want to rock that back one more time? If your focus is on what was, you'll never see what is, and you'll certainly never see what's next. George, how many do so many people go out of business? I went to the post office the other day. Sorry, Pastor Minerva, wherever you are. It's like a ghost town. Industry moved past them. UPS, DHS, everything. Email. The post office will never. Yeah. They're laying off. What about the people who make phone booths? Who's seen a phone booth lately? What about the people who made post office boxes? See, they never got what's next. They were in what was. Okay. So prophetic words to this church, which means prophetic words to you. Number one, exhaust your facilities. Whatever facility you have, make sure something is happening almost every night. Now, what that doesn't mean that Annette's here every night of the week. It means that ministries happen and are surfacing in everybody throughout the body. There is stuff happening here every night, or other blessing other churches and other organizations all across Pembroke Pines and what I am calling your region. God said to me, part of this word about facilities is build an educational resource center here. That means teach English. That means teach people with special needs. That means tutor kids that are having trouble. That means be an educational system. You got a problem, we got hope. We need to have a whole marketing campaign. Not got milk with a sign that got hope. That's us. By your servanthood, you will break down barriers that have been there for years. That's some of the things, Dennis, that we were talking about last night. By our servanthood, you don't wait for somebody else to make a move. Strongest person makes the move first. When you do this, God is going to open facilities beyond your wildest dreams and at the same time establish you, Hope, as a spiritual leader in this region. We are one family in faith. And as a couple, Pastor Joshua and Corinne, you will influence families and marriages around the nation and the world long after I'm gone. Two, this is a day of alliances. God told me to choose 24 ministries that me and Prophet would establish great centers of power around the world. And I want to tell you, this ministry is my first responsibility and calling. I don't care if Apostle Adizma calls me from Colombia. He has 35,000 on Sunday. Hope is my first responsibility. Whatever anointing, whatever gifts that we have, wisdom is always yours. Listen to this prophetically. For generations, God has been building momentum and establishing gifts in your DNA. Say in my DNA. For this moment. And today, I activate an anointing of evangelism on everyone's heart and life in this house that will receive it. Because I'm telling you, when you have a gift of evangelism, you will be successful in any business venture. It's the same, it's the power to influence. It's the power to influence. Last night, we were having an event for my son at my house. And while we were having it there, in the middle of the event, the Lord says, go get your next door neighbor. And I went over and he was cooking fish. And he was there and he was an African-American gentleman that had grew up down in the neighborhood, downtown Miami, had done real good with his wife, and now he owns the home next door to me. And he was there and I said, Richard, I need you to come meet some people. And he said, I'm cooking fish. I stink like fish. I said, Richard, just come meet some people. And so I walk him in my house, and I said, Bill, James, Clarence Brownlee, Johnny, come here. I want you to meet Richard. And what happened in the next 15 minutes was evangelism that will change his life for generations. His four adult children who live in the house will all be changed because of a gift of evangelism. And who knows what that will do when I bring them to this house. They probably have gifts that some of you need to bring together the destiny in your life to fulfillment. I had no idea. I'm standing here in church, and I knew this was going to be one of the strongest prophetic words I've given to this house in 22 years. And whenever my covenant brother, Dr. Joel, stands up, he's prophet of God, when he ever comes in unannounced, it's because there's something powerful about to happen. I am, just a minute, I will listen. But I so know that this man's heart for years and years and years and years has been Cuba. He knows from Raul Castro down. One of his closest friends is the person that is the single decision maker whether you get into Cuba or not. And I know the prophetic word came about two nations that this church would tremendously influence. Haiti and Cuba. Haiti and Cuba, knowing that missionaries to both nations would be here the next service. Because there's going to be a significant impact in Haiti. A significant. I'll let the Spirit of the Lord do that, but in just a minute. It's a day of ministry alliances. I say during this season, please write it down, guard your marriage, guard your family, and guard your godly alliances. Listen to me. Just because God gives you a relationship doesn't mean you don't have to take care of it. What you don't feed dies. Oh, you! I'm just so glad you found Prophet Deborah. Y'all just are made for each other. Y'all just float around every day and make love and laugh and drop grapes in each other's mouths. And you've never had a fuss ever in your life. Have you lost your minds? Do you know how different we are? We're as different. We come from different. We are so different. That's why we need each other so much. We complete one. We work at our marriage. We invest. We date. Got the kids out of the house and are having the best time of our lives. They keep trying to bring the grandkids over, and I keep sending them back. But I will tell you, two prophetic alliances with this house is Prophet Joel Kasoria and Prophet Kathy Lechner. They don't come because of appointments. They come because of love. I don't know if you know this, but Prophet Kathy and Prophet Joel are both very highly paid people when they go somewhere. Did you know that Prophet Kathy came here last time for free? She doesn't go anywhere for free. It's thousands of dollars to have. She comes here because she's in alliance, in connection, in covenant with this house. This man shows up today in covenant. He had a choice to be with us or with one of the most famous men in the kingdom of God in a city not far from here being paid to discuss about his ministry, and he chose to be here. See, what you need to know is not who your buddies are. You need to know who you're in covenant with. Because who you're in covenant with, it changes your life. It empowers your life. It makes your life rich. Okay. Number three, you must begin to think regionally in whatever you do. In other words, you're just not. Can I tell you the difference? I remember when Miles Monroe told me this. He said, Dwayne, when I was a little boy, we grew up poor in Jamaica. He said, and the Asian people came in and they were poor. He says, now the Asian people own all the businesses and we're still poor. I said, so what was it, Dr. Miles? He says, we look for a job. They look for a business. You looked for somebody to give you something. They look to establish something that they can give other people. You want to be hired. They want to create something where they can hire. See, what's next? Oh, God. I'll get to it. What's next, everybody? What's next? Haiti, Cuba are our territories. Our territories. And it's the year of manifested destiny. Lucky and Rhonda just loaded up, finished packing a container, go into Haiti, and it leaves when? Tuesday. The year of manifested destiny. It's here. When did you just get back from Cuba, Shirley? Tuesday, I said, you understand. Okay. Number four, I waited for this because this is very powerful, and it affected like 98% of the first house. God is going to raise up some what's next businesses that have no prosperity cap. Do you hear what I just said? That it's without limit how God will bless you, what your success will lead to. The vision of this house is so worldwide. It's so big. That's why God's got to create some incredible what's next businesses. What's next businesses are people like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs who understood what was next. When they said you'll have a computer in everybody's house and everybody laughed, they were designing. They understood what was next. And I'm here to tell you right now, in the name of Jesus, how many of you raise your hand and say, I know that God has put a what's next business in my spirit and in my heart. Let me see your hand. You're created in his image and in his likeness. The anointing of this house, my degrees in business. What this prophet's anointing is, they're doing due diligence on a multi-million dollar deal right now as we speak. That's just where he came from the day before yesterday. He was just in the office in New York City with a man that makes presidents. You wouldn't know the name if I told it to you, but this man makes presidents and heads of state. They come and they pay him incredible, and he creates who's the president in a nation. If you believe that you're what's next business person, let me see your hand. You believe that's in you. I want you to stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Because you say, well, Bishop, what about you? What about you? Or, no, I'm like Apostle Paul. I want a couple of what next businesses in my life, so that I can underwrite whatever I want to do with people around the world. Now, this is where Prophet Joel's coming. There's an anointing about to be released. There's a prophetic word about to be released right now in this house. I need you right now to open your spirit. Just open your spirit right now. And I want you to reach out and take somebody by the hand, because we're going somewhere together. They went into the promised land together. A people went into the promised land together. Together. I want you just to begin right now. Say, God, what's next for me? God, what's next for me?
Come on, everybody. Just put your mind on God right now. Come on. Just. God, I pray a release over your people right now. God, I create, God, speaking those things that are not as though they are. God, we don't even know what's inside of us, God. We're asking you to reach inside of our spirit and pull out of us the hidden thing, God. Pull out of us the treasure, God. Pull out of us, God, that thing that we've been holding back, that dream, that vision, that opportunity. God, release it now. God, whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever is released on earth is released in heaven. I thank you, Father, for doing it. In the name of Jesus, blessing your people in witty inventions and creative things, God, in businesses. I call money out of heaven to begin to flow right now. God, I thank you, God, that you will prosper us and we will be in health as our spirit begins to prosper. I thank you for it, Father, in your precious mighty name. Let me release a word over this house that comes out of the word of God, Isaiah 55:3. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, listen to this. Behold, I have given you a witness to the people. Watch, church, look at me. Open your eyes and look at me. Leaders, your leaders are the witnesses of God. Watch what he says. Leaders and commanders to the people. Behold, they shall, watch this, call nations that you don't even know yet. forward. I'm speaking to this lady right here, the lady that came from Cuba. There are many countries you're getting ready to travel to. And sir, your business, year one, year two, year three, are going to be good coming forward. But watch this. Come year four and come year five, you will not be able to count the money. Because God's going to make you a paymaster to go into countries. I'm not talking about just Cuba or just, I'm talking about African countries. You're going to touch the nations of the world. That's what God has put you together. Bound your hearts. Watch what he says real quick, real quick. Behold, thou shalt call a nation and knowest not. Nations that know thee not shall run unto thee. Nations are going to begin to run to this church. Pastor, nations, nations, nations are going to begin to run to this church. The country of India. You're going to the country of India, ma'am. Ma'am, look at me. You're going to India. You'll be going to India in the next year. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call unto him, for he is near. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. I love that scripture. I love that scripture because God's thoughts go into realms that we haven't even witnessed yet. And God is singing and dancing and calling deep unto deep. God is calling you to places, my God, you haven't even thought of yet. But I'll coach you. No, no, no. An apostle, there's a greater anointing coming on your life. The anointing of the prophet. You've always kind of pushed that away, but the office of the prophet is coming on you in such an incredible measure. I've never heard a service like I've heard today. A calling and an awakening. Be my voice and be my trumpet, says the Spirit of grace.
I need you just to say, God, I receive that. That's my word. God, I receive that. That's my word. God, I receive that. That's my word. 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 You say, well, Bishop, what's the fruit of this? The fruit of it is the man that you just heard prophesy in his family, in his family, in his family, more people have been reached for Jesus than any family ever on earth. In his family. No, I didn't say they won a few people to Jesus. I'm saying in his family. They've won more people to Jesus than any family ever on earth. That's the one who just spoke to you. So when you get that kind of word, you say, well, God didn't speak to me personally. I'm just telling you, it's so in the air. You just need to say, God, what's next for me? God, what's next for me? God is speaking to you. Let me have five more minutes. Just be seated for a second. In Numbers, the 13th chapter, and the 27th verse, the 33, but 1st and 10, there's a story of what's next, men. And that's Caleb and Joshua. Caleb and Joshua, they came. And they saw. And they said, we're well able to do this. Then in verse 27, they gave their account. They went into the land, and here's some fruit. Now, let me just explain something to you. Those of you that are younger, the owner of Snapchat is how old? 26 years old, and they're worth He sold it for $27 billion. Just an idea, Reuben, just an idea. Just taking pictures with his phone. He created Snapchat. 26 years old. How many of you believe that God is no respecter of person? That God is no respecter of person. Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of the Lord hovered and things started being created. And so there's fruit. Everybody say there's fruit. There's an example of God doing things. And verse 27. Except the people who are living there are so powerful. The cities are fortified. There are giants there. What's next, people? Take except out. Take but out. Oh, that was a great word of God. But stop the but. Stop the except. If God said it, that settles it. No, except they looked and they said, oh, listen to this. Now, this is where you need, because you remember that Lucifer's original definition of his name in the garden, Lucifer meant whisperer. Verse 30 says, and Caleb quieted the people. Turn to somebody beside you and go, shh, shh. We should definitely go up and capture the land right now because we can do it. We can just do it. We can do it. We cannot just finish this. Oh, we're going to finish this. Baseboards, the children's classrooms, the audio visual, the sound. It's all done. It's all done. It's all done. What's next? What's next? The rest of the shopping center or a bigger place. What's next? That's what you have to think. But when the men had gone up, they said, we can't attack these people. Verse 32, and they spread among the children of Israel a bad report. Let me explain something to you. You've got to make sure who's in your ear. No, listen, if it's a bad report, I don't want it. I'm sorry. If you don't think I can do it, I don't want it. I'm sorry. I love you. I love you. But if you're going to try to give me a bad report about something that I know God has destined me to do, sorry, I got no time for that. Don't put your junk in my spirit. Don't put your unbelief in me. The only thing that goes in my ears, Shelly, is good reports. Who I am. Where I'm called. Let me tell you, I don't care what the doctors say. Let me tell you something. There's a reason, Miss Gloria, that you're here in God's house. And then some of y'all think about, I don't know if I can make it to church today. See what she has to do to get into church every day. Because she knows that if she comes, she can live in what's next. And there are several what's next left for you. Now that's Prophet Joel. That's what you got to tell your mother. There's some what's next for her. You need to tell her. Because whenever somebody, listen to me, let me tell you the truth. Whenever somebody starts talking about going home and they've already accomplished what they need to accomplish here on earth, let me tell you something. Prophetically, they're going to go home. But if it's not their time, you need to tell them there's a what's next for them. Give them life. So they spread bad reports. And the Bible says, we saw these men that they were great, great stature, great size. And verse 33, Gary, has to be one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible. And we seemed like grasshoppers in our eyes as well as theirs. Look at me. I'm a giant. I am a giant. Somebody look at somebody else. I'm a giant. I'm a giant in faith. I'm a giant. I'm not afraid. You say, well, the enemy has giants. That's just bigger targets. If they were little, it'd be hard to hit. But if you go give me that big a target, it's easy to knock it. I can close my eyes and shoot it. not only were we small in their eyes, their bad reports had made us small in our eyes. And the enemy will talk you out of every vision that you have. The enemy will discredit every dream you ever have. And the reason you have to dream is for the sake of these girls. We need to raise up children that think they can do anything. Oh, okay. I went to see Rhonda this past week for my first eye exam in 5 years. And so I went on the machine, and when you look in the machine, she keeps messing around with it till there's a picture. And she says, "Do you see the picture?" And I said, "You mean the picture of the house in the middle of groves? Must be about 15 rows of plants, and it's a red house with a white roof with a front door with two smaller windows and one larger window on the first floor and three little windows on the second floor." I said, "Do you mean that house?" And she looked at me, the doctor went, "I've never been around anybody like you. The question is, can you see your vision in detail? What's next?" "I don't know. It's out there." Let God improve your sight today. Let God give you 20/20 spiritual vision that you can see what God has in store for you. What you're doing in Haiti, Rhonda, is a prototype. It's a prototype that you will take to other nations. What you're doing, Shirley, is a prototype. And at the same time, prophet prophesied over you, George, the Lord put it in my heart, you're going to have several different entrepreneurial enterprises. Some that you don't even know about right now that God's going to put in your path. And what? No, you're not. No, that's a curse word in the kingdom. Retire is a curse word. I already got on Pastor Clarence and Pastor Carol. There is no retirement in the kingdom. Your greatest day is your last day. My greatest day, I'll be prophesying, healing the sick, making love to my wife, and then go out. That's it. That's it. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. But my best day was, my last day was my best day. They'll have to figure out in the casket how to get the smile off my face. This is where Pastor Josh goes, "Dad, bring it down. Bring it down." Let me give you two things real quick. Fact is, the promised land is there and your name's already on it. The history books about your life have already been written. The book of life is not just that you're going to heaven. It's the story of your life. And it wins victoriously. It ends victoriously. Jeremiah 1, 5 and 6, "Before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you." How do you run a race that you've never run before? In my late 20s, my friends would call me up and they would say, "Dwayne, let's run the Peachtree Road race, 6.2 miles. Well, my last day at Georgia Tech was my last day just running. I'd already run. I'd run so many hundreds of miles, I didn't want to run. I play basketball, play football, I play sports. I ain't going to go out and run. I'd already done that, done enough of running. And so they'd say, you want to do the race? Come on, come on, Dwayne, come on. Please do the race." And I would go, "Okay." And they say, "Have you been training?" I go, "No. No training whatsoever, no." "And so you're going to run the race with us?" "Yes." So I would go out there, 25,000 people. And the gun would go off, and we'd start to run. And so I would just say in my mind, "I'm just going to run to the first stop sign down there. That's it. Body, just take me to the first stop sign. That's all you need to do. Just one stop sign. That's it. I can say I started the race." So when I got to the stop sign, there was just a little hill. And I went, well, I got dressed up and drove all the way down here. My car's parked at the finish line. I might as well just run the first hill. And so I would run the first hill. And then I would say, there's no way I'm going to stop on top of a hill. I've already conquered this little hill. I just glide down. That's not really even running. That's just gliding. So I'd glide to the bottom of the hill, and then it was like a straightaway. And then I would say, now what kind of man, athlete, would quit on a straightaway? That's like stupid. That would be like, my friends would never let me forget that. You quit on flat? So I ran on the flat. And so about halfway through the race, it's called Cardiac Hill. It's where every year one or two people die at the Beecher Road Race because the people like me, without training, went out and tried to run it. And it's usually that time of year in July, about 100 degrees. And on the pavement, you add about 20. And so there's Cardiac Hill. And I went, you know what? I love a challenge. I'll just get to the top of this hill. And that, I promise you, legs, if you'll take me top of the hill, I'll have conquered Cardiac Hill. Then when I got to the top of Cardiac Hill, I looked back and I saw I'd already run 4 miles. What kind of man would stop with only 2 to go? What kind of human being with any kind of rotten mind? I've already run and I've already conquered Cardiac Hill. The rest of this piece of cake. Every year I would run the race that way. Because you don't run life in a long distance. You run it a day at a time. You run it sometimes an hour at a time. Sometimes you just make it up one hill. And then you run. And every year I got the t-shirt. Everybody else worked out. Peace out. I didn't work out. That's why you have to start what's next here. As a man thinketh, so is he. I thought my way through that race. Oh, goodness. Number 2, 3 attacks always come against what's next leaders. 1, you must get out of your father's house mentality. Every word I ever received for a season in my life, whether it was Kim Clement or Cindy Jacobs or whoever, they would always start by, get out of your father's house. And I would go, I'm out of my father's house. I've been living with my wife for 20, 30 years. And then I thought, okay, maybe it's the father's mentality. And then I want to tell you this. Here it is for you. Are you ready? Say, Bishop, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. You can't think like your parents thought because you're going places they never went. And I'm the only one who has the authority to say this in this house without disrespecting. Success of hope is not based on anything we used to be. It's what God has called us to be here. So I don't want anybody talking about, we used to do this. We used to do that. You're looking back. What's next is looking forward. That's where victory is. That's where doing things you never thought you could do. And that's why when Pastor Josh and Pastor Corinne, I give them counsel and I cover them. But this is their vision now. No, I don't. Have I ever once told you what to do? Ever once? Ever once said you need to do this, you got to do this? Once, never once, 4 years. Because you can't give somebody the responsibility and not give them the authority. Well, that's a great lesson in raising children, but that is a great word. For every major prophetic word, you have to realize
there are more with you than against you. That's the whole story of Elisha and the little boy. Look up. Everybody, can you hear that? What's next? We're surrounded by the enemy. Elijah says, we're not surrounded. They're surrounded. They're in the vantage point. We got fiery chariots of fire looking down, ready to... Say out loud, I'm not surrounded. I don't know. My enemy's surrounded. The people that are coming against the God's will in my life. That's why you have compassion for people who are attacking you. Vengeance is God's. You don't fight. Let God fight. There are no boundaries. There are no boundaries. I'm going to let Pastor Josh, Pastor Corinne preach the rest of the series. But let me just give you this. Psalms 139. The Bible says his thoughts, the things he has purposed for us to do, he said, Pebbles, are more than the sand on the seashore. In other words, there's a list of probably 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 things God wants you to accomplish. Where are you on the list? See, you might be stuck on two. And God goes, let me have two. Because once you create a momentum, you can do 5 through 50 in a very short period of time. Where are you on the list? God said, I want you to do all these things. And he knew how busy you were. He knew what your schedule was. He knew what would come against you, what you would be. He knew all those things. The question is, Joy, where are you on the list? You'll never get through your list unless you are a what's next person. Next. 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 You ever been into a barber shop, James, where the barber was incredible and could get through with you in about 7-10 minutes? They don't know about this haircutting thing like white people have. You go into a barber shop in the inner city. Next, next, next. They can just run them through there. Sure they can. They can edge you up real quick. The bottom line is this. Will you choose to live on what's next, or will you get stuck on what was? Will you be handcuffed to what is? Or you will be liberated by what's next? Put your notes away. Bow your heads. I want you right now in the Holy Spirit to just meditate on him. I will say to every one of you that are here today, you are here on divine appointment. You're here today to hear this word. Open your mind and just say, God, what's next? God, what's next?
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.